So, in here we're in Chovos Levavos, the Shaar B'Tochen Perakeh, we're concluding the seven traits, the seven characteristics of a person who is an emes avoteiach Hashem. And we've gone through six. Number six, of course, is very fascinating. Number six was that a real avoteiach Hashem has a lot of friends, is very popular, no one's afraid of him, because not afraid he'll do something underhanded to undermine what is rightfully theirs. Because the Batei Hashem, by definition, knows you can't, no one can take anything away from him that's his. And he would never take away anything from someone else that's theirs. So therefore he's a person who no one suspects of cutting corners, no one suspects him of stabbing him in the back, no one suspects him of doing anything inappropriate to achieve his goals, because he has no goals, essentially, personally. His own goals are to deserve their banishment. No. That was number six. Number seven is, and this is the final characteristics in the seven habits of highly successful Baal Bitachon. We have the seventh habit of this highly successful Baal Bitachon. And that is that he's a person who has, he's not in pain, he's not in anguish if he does not achieve his own personal goals. And if there's something and something that he wants is missing, he is not pained by it, and he doesn't save up for the future. His concern is not for the future, but his main concern is for the present. He is not, he doesn't look to earn and save and salt away more than he needs for his immediate needs. He's not matrid machshavos, he doesn't confuse his mind and get himself agitated over tomorrow, al ma yishayem mochor, because he knows his main concern is what is going to be in the next world. He's like this: if I'm going to live tomorrow, I don't know. So why should I save for tomorrow and worry so much about tomorrow in this world? Then I'm going to die eventually, and then I'm going to be in Olam Haba, that's for sure. So my making Olam Haba is a vaday. My tomorrow is a suffix, but I'll be here tomorrow. Or I don't even know I'll live out this day. So that's a suffix. So why am I so concerned about the suffix when I should be involved in the vaday? So therefore, his main concern today is maybe his tefillin aren't so kosher, and maybe I better check my mezuzahs. If El is coming, El is a good time to check mezuzahs. And although you only have to check mezuzahs twice every 7 years, maybe it's not such a bad idea to check them every El. That's a mitzvah chasidus. But if I have something to worry about, maybe I'm not doing the mitzvah mezuzah right. Maybe a mezuzah got somehow undermined this year. Better check it out. Maybe I better review Hilchus Tzitzis. Maybe my Tzitzis aren't so good. Of course, I check them every day before I put them on. Wouldn't put on Tzitzis without checking them first, make sure they're kosher. But maybe maybe this is not even the right shear, the Tzitzis. I've been wearing the same kind of Tzitzis since I'm 12 years old. Maybe it's time to reconsider my Tzitzis over here. Maybe I should go into wool instead of cotton. I don't know. I better check it out. I better learn the halachas, ask a rabbi. This is a major concern because Olam Haba, the level of my garment, my garment for all ages, for eternity, will be determined how much I put effort into my garment in this world, my spiritual garment. And whether or not I can get the special at Sears on mufflers, and whether that I might miss the big special on, save $10 instead of a $129 muffler, I get $119, that should not be my big concern today, whether I'll cop the special and the coupon might expire. If the coupon might expire tomorrow, that should not be my main concern. So to get angry at somebody, someone needs a favor for me or something, I gotta run to Sears, I gotta get this coupon that expires by 12 o'clock tonight. Better do the favor and worry about improving in the Shema and improving my personality, which I'm gonna have to live with for all eternity, because if I grimace in this world, that's what my face will look like forever and ever. Olam Haba, and Gehenna is you have to look at your face in the mirror forever. That's what Gehenna is gonna be. Gehenna is to have a big mirror in front of you in the world to come. And whatever your face looked like in this world, that's what you can look like forever in Olam Haba. So if you're always losing your temper and angry, you don't know how bad you look when you're angry. You don't know how grotesque the face is contorted into some kind of a miserable, ugly shape. You don't see it. Everyone else sees it. You don't. The Gehenna is you look at yourself in the mirror. That's all. You look at yourself in the mirror forever. If you had a nice, sweet, loving smile to everybody, calm, everyone around you felt a little better in your presence and a little more serene. So that's your Olam Haba. You look at yourself in the mirror. And if you get everybody else agitated, so then you'll agitate yourself. And that way, no problem. It's very makes a lot of sense. You look in the mirror. Meet the connected meter. That's all. You just see yourself forever in the mirror. So it's good to look in the mirror in this world and see ourselves who really are, but we're too busy. Who has time to look at myself in the mirror now? I'm busy running the Sears for the special. Gotta get the muffler. So he says, Baal Bitachon, the serenity of the Baal Bitachon is that he says like this. So the Baal Bitachon, on the one hand, he remembers that he's not living forever. And he doesn't know when he's going to die. I have bitachon, I have hopes, and I ask God for a long life. I would like to have a long life. I would like to have time to improve myself. I know what I look like. Actually, I happen to know what I look in the mirror. I'm not too happy about it. I am not happy with my present mirror look. So I'm hoping that Hashem will give me a long life, only for one reason, to prepare myself for the longer life. I'd like to live 100 and 120 years amidst Hashem, healthy, so that I can spend all my time in this world making a masterpiece out of myself. I really haven't even begun. Now that you get to a certain age, you start realizing what life is all about, and I have a little idea about what I talk like to make myself into. So I dial Hashem, please give me long life. What reason? What do you want long life for? I know many old people, I speak to old people, and many old people are sick of life, and they tell me why. I told you this many times, why? What's the gift of old life? What's the gift of long age? Why do people always bless me when I was young for a long life? The answer is these people thought long life is to enjoy this world longer. Well, this world's not so enjoyable, especially when you have no teeth and you have no feet and you're arthritic and you're old and you're sick and you're on pills and everything else and you can't help yourself and you're nebuchad, half an invalid. So you're right. Arichas Yomim in this world, for this world, is a curse. Actually, it's a curse, old age. Old people told me it's a curse. This is what people vinched me. This is what people vinch me on. This is not a bracha. This is not a bracha. To vegetate. To be a burden to others. Arichas Yomim is really a bracha when a person is by his facilities and that person can improve themselves by helping. To be working on oneself in preparation for the world to come, then it's a great blessing. So he said, the main yisad of the Baal Bitachon is that the Baal Bitachon is so concerned about the real future that he has no interest in what's called the immediate future of Olam Hazeh. And not only that, you don't even know if you're going to live tomorrow. But one thing for sure, he says, if I live tomorrow, Hashem will give me the parnasa for tomorrow. He says, Now if I ask God for a long life, I want to live to 120 mitzvashem, I have no question that the same God who puts the breath of life into my mouth, the same God that keeps all of my blood flowing, the same God that keeps my heart banging, will give me the food to make it happen. I believe in Hashem. I want Hashem to give me lungs. I don't believe that Hashem is going to give me the air for the lungs and give me the oxygen, the oxygenated blood, and the oxygenated blood requires nutrients. So of course he gives me
one puts away money for a pension plan. Does that imply that he's lacking in the coffin?
Let's say that for a moment. It's a fine question. But as we say all the time, that is a normal way to live, just like you can have an insurance policy. But the fact is that the proof that you're a Baal Bitachon is if it be necessary, and this sounds drastic, but if you need a new car right now and it requires dipping into your pension plan, you'd be wise to buy the new car and don't worry so much about your pension. So if you have extra money, fine. But if you in any way undermine your lifestyle, the normal lifestyle that you're accustomed to, and you really feel to be comfortable, if you're not going to be comfortable and you need an air conditioner, you know, you're afraid to dip into your savings, that's a no-no. If you have extra money, well, of course, the Chavos said your really reason for extra money is to give away to tzedakah. We discussed that in the past. Are you sure you were here? That people don't even want to hear, for sure. So if you're loaded with money, you have extra money, the halacha is you should give more than the chomesh. When you're very rich, you should give away more than the chomesh. Not just a meiser. Meiser for sure not enough. Chomesh is the minimum. Chomesh is the basic. Meiser is
chomesh of the income.
Chaimesh of Yinkum, or if you didn't give Meister in the first place for what you made a long time ago, and now you learned the law, give away more. If you have money sitting in the bank, give it away. What God gave it to you for the give it away to the Taniyim. That's really what he gave it to you for, and even more than the Chaimesh if you really can afford it. If you have, Baruch Hashem, plenty of money. That's really what the extra money is for. But for yourself, it's also for you. If you have extra money, and don't be mitzayah yourself, if you need something now, you're not paying your kids' tuition because I can't pay my kids' tuition because I have to save my income, my IRA. That's a good question. Who says that? Who says you shouldn't pay your kids? It's another. Pay your tuition. I'll borrow money from people all the time. I'll be my triach people because I want to dip into my pension fund. Now, you have to think about that. At any rate, the main thing is, it says in the Sanhedrin, Al Totzer Tzoras Mochar, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be in pain about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow will give birth to. Maybe you'll never get to tomorrow. And it comes out that you were painting yourself on a world that is not yours. So the main daiga a person should have is that maybe I am not fulfilling my obligations towards God and towards man. Maybe I haven't done enough for the Rabbi Shalom. I'm always asking God to do more for me. Am I demanding myself to do more from God? From God I want more and more and more. My shopping list is never ending. I'm always adding new things to my shopping list from God when I daven. What are we demanding of ourselves? What are we demanding? How are we dealing with our family? Are we improving in our relations with our wives and our children and our parents and our brothers and sisters and our friends? The main daiga a person should have is not fulfilling obligations to everybody else. And I'm working to improve both inside the chitziniyusai ubefnimiyusai, but both externally and internally. Because I'm always thinking about death. I am thinking about death. I think about death a lot. I'm worried about after 120. I do worry about the future that's inevitable. And once I'm over that threshold of death, nothing can be changed. And I'll see another Muhammad. I was a fool. I should have given away more tzedakah. I left it behind. I was an idiot. It's too late. You can't give it away then. It's too late. I was holding on to my money so tight. I saw him doing such a big favor. Big mistake. I saw such a gewaltig avort this week. We say in the benching, we ask Rabban Shalom, please, we shouldn't don't let me come on to the gift of Basar Adam, a gift from a person of flesh and blood. Not to their loans. But rather, Hashem, let me come out to your hand, Hamaleya, that's full and open. And some regard is not psucha vakadosha, open and holy, but open and overflowing. Hagidusha. So I saw a gewaltig avort, Magadl, that there's three kinds of people who give tzedakah. One person gives tzedakah, he gives tzedakah, but it's my money. I'm giving you my hard-earned bucks because I'm so smart and I'm such a good investor and I'm such a good earner. So my money, Hashem, that's called matnas basar adam. The man who believes that his basar adam made these few dollars, my flesh and blood made the money, I don't want something from him. That's from him. It's my money. Homage. The rabbi said, give away meiser, I'll give you chaimish. It's my money. Then another guy says, no, it's not my money. It's all from the Rabbi Shlom. So it's God's money. I'm just a trustee. But you know what? I get some credit for this. I'm a nice guy. I gave it to you. And I'm a good guy. I'm giving you my money. It's his money. But, you know, I'm sure God will reward me for being so nice to you. The fact is, I'm making the decision to give it to you. It's God's money, but I'm the trustee. So God owes me, you owe me one for recognizing that's your money. I know it's your money. So it's like he's lending the money to God because he wants payment in return. So a person wants payment in return for doing the mitzvah tzedakah from God. Forget people. For people, for sure you shouldn't want anything in return. They owe you nothing. They only a thank you for tzedakah. If you think the only owes you a thank you, if you think Rosh Yeshiva owes you a big letter, they owe you a plaque for the yeshiva. These plaques are mamish against the mamish lifnibra people not to do the tzedakah properly. Because anybody, you want to train people to give you tzedakah, that it's not their money. So they don't deserve a plaque. They don't deserve a plaque. They really don't. If they were matriach maybe and they changed it, they're giving you a check in America and they changed it into dollar bills for you and they gave you some chesed, they were nice enough to give you nicely and they brought it to your door, so you thank them for being such a considerate person for bringing it to my door, not make me schlep by taxi, maybe. But the money is not his money to start with, it's their bunch of the money. He's smart, and he's getting more. The person who's giving his stock away is getting bigger than the person who's getting. He's getting a mitzvah. The third guy who says, you know, it's mamash, not mine. I didn't earn it. It's a gift from God. And even giving it, I don't, you know, it's mamash. I'm just Hashem's extended hand. Here, take it. That's the shot. Lo de matnas basav Hashem. I don't want a matnas basav adam. I don't want to give from a person of flesh and blood who thinks that his flesh and blood earned it. Forget about that guy. That's a bad eye. I don't want halvasim. I don't want a person who thinks he's lending God money. God owes him something for this. It's God's money, but God owes him something. It's like a loan. No. Kim liyadcha. I want it to come from your hand directly. If it has to come from a human being, someone who mamish knows that he's only the extension of God's hand. He doesn't want anything in return from the Rebbeinu Shlom. He's just a conduit and finished. That's the emes tzedakah. That's the emes tzedakah. So the person gets tzedakah, right? And doesn't say to himself, oh, I'm a great Baal tzedakah. I'm going to go to Papa. I can't get burnt in Gehenna. I gave away $100,000 last year. Oh, really? How much was that? Meiser? On your income level, you're giving Meiser only? Shulchan Aruch says you should give as much as you can. The best way is chaymesh. If you're not holding, if you're only getting a salary, you give a chaymesh. That's really the best. If you're making windfall profits, you give more than the chaymesh. If you're on a salary, chaymesh is the right way. Meiser is midah beinoni. That's middle of the road. You're average guy. You're an average guy, meiser, average. Less than meiser, you're an ayin ra. Forget about it. Bad eye. So you give meiser. It's not for you, meiser. Check it out. Worry about it. Could get the olam haba, you'll see that they're not going to be so satisfied with what you gave. They expected much more from you. What do you think? God dumped all this money on you because you're such a nice guy. Well, what did you deserve more than anybody else? Hashem was giving you a challenge to test you what you can do with your money. So the main daig is not to make more money, but to use it more wisely. The main daig is not to worry if I'll have money tomorrow. My main daig is today's money. Am I using it right? Am I spending it right? Am I apportioning it right? Am I giving it away in a nice way? I'm only worried about one thing. I have a worry. What when I die? I might die today. I can die. It's happened. It happens all the time. And I'm afraid that I might die suddenly. And because he's worried he might die today, and you should worry about today, Taka, I might die today. Who knows? Just like that. Car accident, Chaz Hashem. Hey, the millions, guy, you need the freak accident. So that's why I'm a Zor is to do today more mitzvahs, and get out that money quicker, and don't put it off to tomorrow. If I'm doing a guy taiva, it's good enough I'm giving him that yeshiva $100. I can wait till tomorrow. I want to eat supper first. I can wait till after supper. What do you mean you can't wait till after supper? The need to give the stock is more burning than your hunger for supper. Because you might not eat, you might get a bone in your throat during supper, because you might not make it through supper. So take care of it. So a person should worry about the future, is worry about Lam Haba. But this world, not to worry. And it says in the Avos, Shuv Yamech Lefnei Misrasa, repent one day before you die. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, that means repent now, because you might die tomorrow, you might die this afternoon, you might die at 10 o'clock. Or 9:15. And the Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, in Kaelas, B'choleis yu begadech levonim. Always your clothing should be clean. You also have to do tshuva. Don't say, tshuva, yeah, I know I got a couple of errors. El, that's what tshuva's for. As a matter of fact, El is even a little too early. I'm not such a big tzaddik. That's for kelomers. For nevarzikers, El, bali musher. Even if it says, abal musher. Ichavan vaser is a tshuva. As a matter of fact, Erev Yom Kippur will be fine. Yom Kippur is also good. Mila actually is a good. I can. Shana Rava, yeah. Tshuva can wait. Got a big deal pending. Tshuva. Bekitzer, he says the most foolish person, the biggest curse, he says, the curse Hashem puts on a person, is that Hashem puts a person a cheshek to amass money in Olam Hazeh. But people fool themselves. Some people make money easy. So they say, I'm not greedy. Sure they're greedy because they know it comes easy to them, but they still want money. So the biggest curse is to love Olam Hazeh more than Olam Haba. That's the curse, he says. And he says, when the gift of Chachas says such a man loves money and amassing it, he says, the rabbi asks this fellow whose only sense of security in life is from his money and not from his relationship with God. So the rabbi says to him, how much money do you need already to be happy? How long are you going to be misalem? How long are you going to be oblivious to your real, what you really should be worried about? And you only think about the narsha poor piastres in this world? How long, when are you going to start worrying about your menucha, your menucha nechayna tachaskam v'yashchina, your eternal rest? He says, listen, Rabbi, I agree with you. You got to really worry about olam haba. But after I finish worrying about my parnasa and all my needs for me, my wife, my children, I'm not worried about my grandchildren. Rabbi, my grandchildren, they'll take care of themselves. But my wife and my children, as long as we're alive, I got to have enough money to assure physical comfort to me, my wife, and my kinderlach. Then, when I have no daigas or olam haza anymore, then I'll worry about my olam haba. Olam haba, olam haza first. Then olam haza. Olam haba. So the truth is, that means we're like that. That's us. Hey, that's us. That is us. Rabbi, I subscribe to everything you say. I'm a Chovetz Lavavitz man all the way. I believe in Chovetz Lavavitz. But my first obligation is to be concerned about my Olam Hazeh. Then I worry about Olam Haba. So the Chovetz Lavavitz said it time and again, our main concern is Olam Haba. And I'm very concerned about Olam Hazeh too, because I need Olam Hazeh to get me to Olam Haba. But again, without belaboring that point, there's a few little points over here that have to be clarified. A lot of things have to be clarified. The main nekuda of the Chovetz Lavavitz was is, I'll talk, the Mara says in the Hedron, I'll talk to Tzaras Machar. Don't be aggravated about tomorrow. It doesn't mean a person shouldn't think about tomorrow in Gansan. Now, that would be not exactly responsible. This is a fine line between worry, anxiety, aggravation, pain, which are no, and legitimate concern to live a normal life. So therefore, if a person is doing whatever is the norm, I wouldn't say society, because we're Jews, we are different than Galatian society, but what is acceptable, at least on a certain level, as being normal precaution, that's fine. So it's alright to lock your doors at night. It's definitely a precaution. And maybe a great gedolim never well locked the door. Perhaps, I don't know about that, but to live normal, you lock your doors at night. And if you park your car in Manhattan or in Brooklyn, make sure to, actually, I bought a club for Brooklyn, I must confess. For Brooklyn, I have a club. Well, because my son's car, I've been stolen so many times. The truth of the matter is, I'm not so hung up on the club, and I don't usually use the habit for Brooklyn. I felt that's a safe precaution. I don't tell anybody, my alarm system stopped working a couple of months ago, I disarmed it, never bothered rearming it. Came with the car, that's what they got me. But I have to rearm it, actually. Eh, big deal, nice. It's a keyless entry system, it's cute. So, you know, we gotta lock our doors. You lock your door of your car when I'm in a place where I think there's people are gonna go into it. In front of my house, I'm not so concerned. Muncie, I'm not concerned. But a person should take normal precautions. There's no question about it. So it's the aggravation and the worry that's, and another important, and the truth of the matter is, we have here, I'd like to just spend a few minutes trying to get a proper balance on this. The most important thing to remember is, that one cannot be a Baal Bitochen on Yenem's Cheshbon. It's like Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said about life insurance. So a person for himself can say, I'm not responsible. And it's true, we are not responsible for what happened after 120. This might sound very bizarre to certain people, some of us, but it's not a usual way of thinking. A person is not responsible. A husband has to pay his ksuba to his wife after he dies. There should be money to pay his ksuba to his wife. To children, the Gemara says, you don't have to leave over any money whatsoever. You're not responsible. It's 120. Not responsibility. It's not your responsibility. However, if, while you're alive, your wife is nervous, and she says, without life insurance, I'm very nervous. So if Yango says, I can be about talking for myself and say, nothing to worry about. Hashem takes care. If he gives you life, he'll give you pranasa. One cannot be about talking on Yenem Cheshbon. You cannot be about talking to somebody else. And that's very important. So therefore, probably the biggest conflict in every marriage is where wives panic and the husband says, what are you so panicky about? What are you going crazy for? And even throw in a little bit more, have somebody talking. Who's your be talking? You're the one saying till him all the time. You're the firm one. And look at me, I'm not concerned. Mr. Macho, I'm not concerned. And you're always worried. I would suspect that this is number one source of conflict in marriages. I don't know about your marriage, but at any rate, you can't be a Baal Bitochen to anybody else. You can't be a Baal Bitochen to your kids. Give me a Baal Bitochen for your friends. Don't have me talking. That's like saying to a guy, you have a new nose. Guy is telling, I have a heart problem, you know, doctor says I need bypass for surgery. Have a new heart. You're right. You can help me get a new heart. You can encourage me to go through the operation. But don't just tell me, have a heart. Have a new heart. Have heart. I don't have a heart. Be talking as a reality. Be talking as much as of our personality as my eyes are. You can't tell somebody, well, you don't like your blue eyes? Have brown eyes. Blue doesn't go well with your hair? I have brown eyes. I'm sugaring it. Tell a guy with brown eyes. Guy with a hooked nose, have a straight nose. It's a reality. It's a mitzvah. I can't tell someone, have be talking. Just like my eyes are on your eyes and your eyes are, my be talking is not your be talking. It's the essence of my personality. It's the essence of my relationship with Hashem. It's very undefinable, but that's what it is. You can't tell people, have be talking. It's actually demeaning, degrading, and painful. You're putting them down. It's like telling somebody, you know, why don't you have my eyes? Why don't you have my beautiful blue eyes? I got blue eyes. Why don't you have blue eyes? I'm shigging it. That's them. Be talking is the essence of our being. So for a husband and his wife is getting concerned and nervous and screaming and yelling, have me talking, that's very insensitive, very foolish. It's just wrong. What we can do at best is to try to, first of all, you share someone's concern. Because on their level, they're nervous. They have every right to be nervous. So it's like, again, it's like telling Donnie, oh, I'm not going to give you the money because I'm afraid if I give you tzedakah, it'll take away from me talking. Do you have faith in Hashem? Hashem will take it. I have no money to pay my rent. They're evicting the house. Have be talking. You're not going to get evicted. Have be talking. The doctor says I need an operation. You be talking. The rabbi, you're firmer than I am. I don't understand. I got to be talking. Don't have be talking to somebody else. If someone else has a problem, it's our obligation to listen and to share their pain and to say, wow, that's not a problem. Wow, they're really, I can appreciate why you're so nervous. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can do physically to help you. I'm going to help you. And that's the mitzvah of tzedakah, is not just to give money, but to give them encouragement is bigger than the tzedakah. To give the tzedakah, as we learned the other day, what was it, 6 brachas for giving the tzedakah, 11 brachas for encouraging them, the faisa. The pious is anybody. If someone needs it, my wife needs a favor for me, she's nani right now. If my wife needs a favor, my kids need something, or my friend needs something, they're the aniyim. And if I have a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience, and a wealth of money to help, so I'm a chuyib, just like by Anani, to give him the money, or the muscle power, or the action. So if your wife tells you before Shabbat, I got to buy the gefilte fish, what's going to be? Don't say, happy talking. Hashem will send gefilte fish. You share her big concern that Wesley Kosher is closing in 10 minutes, and you know what? You say, I'll get in the car and get it for you. You don't tell her happy talking. You don't tell her what you're panicking for. She has every right to panic. We can learn together Chavos Avavos on the long range. You can say, you know, I think, you know, I see you many times. I feel so, you know, a lot of times, you know, you get very over concerned. You know, maybe we should learn together a little thing. And oh, you know, I tell you, I benefit a lot from learning Chavos the Sefer, and it really helped me a lot to deal with anxiety and getting overwhelmed. Let's sit down and have a Seder or something. Or buy you the book, learn it yourself, learn it to your friend. I'll give you the tapes. That's the long term. You want to be nice when everything is calm and quiet. You say, you know, I have a little gift for you. Instead of buying your flowers, buy your Rabbi Foyer's tapes on Chavos Lavavos. That would be a wonderful gift. Great. I'll give you a discount. Discount for all participants. But when she's nervous and screaming, don't say, what are you panicking for? Because that's when everybody panics. We panic. We don't panic over gefilte fish because we're not the balabasta. We panic over other things. We panic. Everybody has their panic button. And just because you haven't panicked yet doesn't mean that you don't have your panic button. We all have our panic button, just that no one pressed it lately. But it's there. We all have a panic button. And often they, when we start to panic. So don't look down at other people condescendingly. What are you getting so panicky for? Where's your bitachon? That's cruel. That's the hefek of a balbi. A balbi talking is for myself. And the best I can do for somebody else is, number one, I share your concern. Yeah. But you know what? If it's something I can do, and I'm equally responsible as you, I'll do it. So don't worry, I'll take care of it. If it's something that's really that person's problem, so it's demeaning to try to turn somersault to take over the problem, actually. It's better to help them deal how to cope with it and just recognize they have a problem. Just try to just give them some encouraging words, and they'll solve it on their own. And that's the honoring way to give them, but not to say, have be talking. You can give a word of bitachon. I'll give you an example in a minute, but you can't just tell people have bitachon. Rabbi Levine, I'll give you two examples. This one we'll have to discuss barichus. We'll have to continue this in mitzvah Shem next week. Rabbi Levine, as a ma'isa, big tzaddik, but he always said his wife was a bigger baal bitachon, the bigger madregan he was. So Rabbi Levine was a big baal tzaddik. He was also a talmud of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, another gedolim. He was a talmud of baal bitachon. So one day he went to an old age home, and an old man gave him some money. A 10 lira note, a 10 British, it was during the 1930s when there was still British money in Eretz Yisrael. I think it was a 10 pound sterling note. And he said, please be so kind, send this to my daughter in Russia. I have children in Russia. The fellow was living in an old age home near Rehov Yafo. Send this to my children in Russia. Rabbi says, sure, I'll go to the post office. He runs out of the old age home to do this mitzvah, and as he's getting to the post office, he feels in his pocket, and the 10-pound note is gone. And he puts his hand in his pocket, he realizes there's an old pair of pants that had a hole in the pants. His mom was holding the pocket, he didn't realize it. He put it in his left pocket, didn't usually put it in that pocket, and the 10-pound note is gone. Now that was a lot of money in those days. In Russia, you could live 2-3 months on that, and there it was, a lot of money too. So he's devastated. He comes home to his wife and he starts, what's going to be? I lost a 10-pound note and we need so much for our own children. I'm going to have to replace it. What's going to be? We have so many expenses right now. What's going to be? And his wife said, this old Yiddish vort, sometimes even a glass can fall on the floor and it won't break. Just because something looks like it's a tragedy, doesn't it have to be a tragedy? Very calm. So she didn't say to be a baal bitachon. She said, you know, sometimes a glass can fall on the floor and also not break. So he went to his Rebbe, or this is Zalman Meltzer, for advice. What should I do? The Rebbe said, there's a little paper that comes out, like a neighborhood paper called Dohar Hayom, the Daily Mail, and there they have lost and found advertisements. So go to the Dohar Hayom and put a little ad in lost a certain amount of money on Rehov Yafo, and see what happens. So Rabbi Levine didn't think this was such a great idea because there was no simonim. This was a piece of paper. It wasn't in a wallet. It wasn't in an envelope. Just a 10-pound note that floats in the wind. Who's going to find it? It could be someplace else already. The Rebbe says it. It says in Mishlei Shemei Le'etza Chacham, the wise person is the one who listens to advice from others. If the Rebbe said it, this is Min HaShemayim. He went to the Dohar Hayom. He went into the classified ads. He said, I'd like to put an ad in about some lost money. And the editor says to him, you know what? A guy just left here a minute ago. He found a 10-pound note. And he put an ad in. To put an ad in to say, I found a 10-pound note on Rehov Yafo. And he said, if anybody comes in and asks for it, I should give him the telephone number. So I went, I called him up, came to the guy's house. A young man, needed the money, poor person. He found the note on Rehov Yafo. You know where Rehov Yafo is today. It was the busy street then too. And as a matter of fact, the note was found in front of a building that was being built in Rehov Yafo where there were a bunch of Arab workers there. With workers going back and forth the whole day. And no chance they're going to give it back. And this yid passed by, found the temple, and went to Dohar Hayom 5 minutes before Rabbi Levine came there. So his wife just told him words of encouragement to think straight. When someone's in a panic, don't tell them, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't have bitachon. Yeah, bitachon is from me, but not for somebody else. From somebody else, I give them an encouraging word and say, you know, a glass can fall and not necessarily break. Think calmly and do what you have to do. Now he thought calmly, he went to his Rebbe, and the Rebbe gave him good advice, and everything ended up well. And the truth of the matter is that this is very much a theme of these days, because the Gemara in Gittin, which starts off the whole sugya of Kamsa by Kamsa, the whole sugya of the Churban Beis HaMikdash tells us in Gittin, Daf Nun Hei Mebeis, the Gemara starts off saying, Amar Rav Yochanan, Maidah Siv, what's the pshat? In Mishlei Chavches, Ashrei Odom Mefachei Tomid, Umak Sheliboy Yipol Bera, Fortune is the man who's always afraid, but the person who hardens his heart will fall into evil. This is the introduction to the story of Kamsa Bakamsa. Because the Jewish people were too smug and too self-confident, and the reason is that they were so arrogant to one another and throwing people out of their parties and acting with such arrogance is because they were makshaliba, they hardened their hearts. So not everything that's called bitachon is bitachon. Sometimes we're insensitive. Just because I'm not nervous about something doesn't mean I'm about bitachon. I am makshaliba. A lot of things, again, we have to discuss this next week more. I just want to tell you this before Tisha B'Av. Many things we call bitachon, not bitachon. It's makshaliba. It's hardening of heart. And we're intolerant of other people who get nervous. It's because if Hashem, just like Hashem, every time a poor person comes to my door, it's a gift from Hashem. And it's Hashem giving an opportunity to react properly. Anytime somebody in my proximity gets nervous and gets panicky, it's Hashem's gift to me, His challenge to me, to give me an opportunity to react in a better way, in a kinder way, in a more mature way, instead of just brushing it aside. That's makshaliboy. To be mefachik, to join in their pain, to join in their concern, but if I'm less unnerved, then I will try to give them a little more encouragement and do what I can to help them out of this difficult situation. But a person who just, everything, no problems, no problems, life is no problem, life is a bowl of cherries, there's no problem in life. I never worry. No. There's a difference between worry that's inappropriate is panic, confusion, pain, aggravation. But concern, for sure, a person should be concerned. You have to do what's normal to take care of tomorrow. If it's normal to have retirement funds, you can have retirement funds, but don't get obsessed with it. A person should be concerned about, you know, his welfare. That's what we live today also. You should be concerned if you want. But not worry and aggravated and feel if you don't have it, you miss it. I don't have an IRA. I don't have a retirement fund. At this point in my life, I'm not deeply, it's not one of the things I worry about too much. So, not to be aggravated. And for Yedem, so the Gemara says in Brachas, on the same Pasuk, on Daf Samech, the Gemara says that, on the one hand it says a Pasuk, that what the Gemara says about a certain Chacham, who is walking behind somebody else in the street, and he sees that this Talmud, the Talmud Chacham sees that his student is shaking in fear. And he says to him, Chato'at, you are a sinner. Because it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, Pachadu b'tzion chatoyim. That a person in Tzion who was in fear is a sign of being a sinner. You're so close to Hashem, you're living in Tzion. What are you so worried about? I say the pasuk, Ashu adam afachei tamid. The pasuk says in Mishnah, it's good for a person, fortunate the person is always worried. And for the Gemara, Hahu b'divrei toirek siv. That's talking about Torah. In other words, to worry that maybe I'm not fulfilling my obligations in Torah to God, that's what to worry about. That's what the Yerei Shemayim was all about. The Yerei Shemayim was always worried, I'm doing Shabbos, am I doing it right? Do I know what the halacha is? I'm doing everything, am I doing it right? I put on tefillin, my tefillin taka good, did I check them? Did I know? Whatever. Did I check my mezuzahs? Did I check my tzedakah? Did I check my heart? Ashri yadim afachi tamad ahu v'divri tayriksiv. The main fear we should have, the main concern, is that we're preparing for Lam Haba. But if a person is very nervous and paranoid in this world and he can't get his act together, that's a sign of chatoyim, of sins. A sinner worries. Now again, we have to still adjust this all and explain better that there are some people more prone to worry, women are more prone to worry, and that's fine. And that's really the husband's challenge to be more sensitive. Doesn't mean a woman's a sinner. You can't say, well, hey, what are you so worried about? You must be a sinner. Do tshuva. You're panicking. Do tshuva. If you did tshuva, you wouldn't worry so much. Right, that's not the way to go. A person himself, we should know that if we're excessively nervous, it's because it's a gift from Hashem, actually. That because I have my aveiros, I know deep in my heart I don't deserve better. And I'll conclude this one final maaser of Chaim Volozhiner. This is the short shir. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was having a meeting once. And I'm worried about the battery. See, I'm not a Bobby Tuck, I'm worried about the battery dying.
And I'm not Balbi talking. I'm looking at the battery level to make sure the battery's not going out and the tape's not going out. So I am an oxymoron. I am contradicting myself as I give the shiur. Hypocrisy. At any rate, Reb Chaim Elozhiner, big Balbi talking. Once there was a meeting, the Balabatim, the Shtad came to a big problem. A person of Elozhiner Nebuch went a shtickle off the derech, and he started a new business, and he was determined to put all of his competitors out of business, and he was going to the government and telling the government all kinds of slander about his competitors, his Jewish competitors, and there was a real fear that everyone might be terribly damaged by this Moser. He's a Moser. A slanderer, an informer. So they came to the Rav's house for Eitzis. The Shtad come to the Rav's house, puts a Shabbos tablecloth on the table. He had the respect for Balabatim. Rabbanim had the respect for Balabatim too. It's a two-way street. So he puts crystal and china out. I mean, the Taiva year, the leaders of the city are coming to the Rav's house. The Rav is treating them with Derech Eretz. Shabbos bread, the best crystal, the china. Middle of this meeting, one of the Balabatim somehow gives a yank to the tablecloth by accident, and pulled the whole tablecloth because it starts falling off the table, and everything goes crashing down to the floor, and everybody is in a panic. Oh, babe, we destroyed the Rav's entire china and glass. And Reb Chaim was sitting calm. He said, nothing happened. Well, everything was covered like by the tablecloth. They didn't see what's underneath. He says, don't worry about it. Nothing is broken. Guarantee you. They pick up the tablecloth. They look. Not a chip. On the china, that chip on the crystal, everything is gone. She said, how do you know Rebbe is such a Baal Moifis? No, it's not a Baal Moifis. He says, the only thing that can be damaged is something that was earned with unkosher money. If something is, it was flawed in the etzem money that purchased it, that flaw goes over to the object. And therefore it has an intrinsic weakness in it. But like Rabbi Levine's wife said, Nishtal, it's not every time a glass falls, it has to break. It's the flaw, it's the chait that makes something break. So I know that this was purchased with kosher money. There was no internal flaw in this. I wasn't afraid it should be broken. And you know why this happened, he said to the Balabat. You know what happened during this meeting? To teach you a lesson. What are you so worried about? If your stores are kosher, if you're running your stores in a kosher way, and all the money you make in your stores, don't have to worry about competition. Don't even worry about this moser, this informer. Nobody can take away what was earned kosher. If your money was unkosher, and only you know the truth, or maybe you want to deny it, but if you know the truth that your money was earned kosher, it can never be damaged. If it was unkosher money, then you got what to worry about. That's why Hashem made this happen during this meeting. So, Rabbi Isai, I think the problem has been solved. You do what you have to do. Don't get paranoid about this fellow. And you run your business honest, and there will be no damage from your competition. Don't be overwhelmed. So, a Baal Bitachon looks at life totally differently. There's room for concern. If a person has chatoim, he has what to worry about. He has what to worry about as chatoim for the world to come. And even this world, a person knows he was dishonest in his money. Taka should worry about his money, because and see what he can do to fix things up. So Taka, there was a person who earned his money dishonestly. I came to, I think, Rabitzel Panovitcher. Rebbe, I ran a dairy for many years, and all the years of my life, I watered down the milk. And now I'm an old man, I want to do tshuva. Back in the tshuva, I sell tens of thousands of gallons of milk in Panovitcher all these years. And I've gypped thousands and thousands of sheep, thousands of customers. What's going to have done? He said, well, the only eight says, the Gemara really said, the Gemara said that you should do something for the Rabbim. You have to do, he said, I think he told him, dig a well. Do something for the benefit of the Tzibur, so that hopefully everybody you stole from, or their children, or children's children, will get the benefit. Build a park, make a well, so everyone should have an easier time getting the water in the olden days. Do something to really benefit the Tzibur, so that you can touch with a blessing as many people as possible to rectify the what you stole from them, from so many people. That's Tzarchi Rab. So this is a person who was looking at life normal. His whole life he was looking for money, 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 money. Watered down, watered down the milk, and now he gets hold of us, Tufman Rebbe, and it's very hard. He was rightfully nervous. So the Rebbe gave him a good piece of advice. So before Tisha B'Av is the time that on Asher Adam Afachei Tomin, in Ruchnias we should be afraid. It's the opening of Kamsa Barkamsa. The Yidden would have been a little bit more afraid, not so smug. So is this not an Aveir that we're all over on even today? So with all of our Yiddishkeit, all of our Torah, all of our mitzvahs, are we Mekayim Ashri Adam Afachei Tomin? This is Taka the Shmuz. I should have given this yesterday morning. This is Taka what everyone has to hear. Ash, and myself included, top of the list. Ashrei Adam Afachei Tomin is the opening to the whole Sugya Bekamta Bekamta. Umaksha Liba Yipa Bera. He who or she who hardens their heart shall fall into evil. We have hard hearts. The Gullus makes us insensitive. And we want to be tough. It's a tough world out there. When the going gets rough, the rough get going. So it's with the rough riders. That's what Gullus teaches. Be rough. Sabras. You gotta be a Sabra. Tough on the outside. You gotta be real tough. The people who are tough on the outside can become tough on the inside too. The aside is Maksha Liba Yibarad Abish the Elfin, we should be in Kayam Asher the Mafakai Tomit, and that's Chuz Tak will be Zaychet to the Gulu Shleimah.